Thanks, Jen. It's Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I am Justin Kaufman. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We start tonight with the story of the Chicago Defender. The African-American newspaper was founded way back in 1905 and was a prominent read for blacks coming from the South during the Great Migration, but also became a Bible for a community that wanted to hear their own stories. The Defender did just that, bringing alive the South Side, the West Side of Chicago. I know this because I read Eitan McKaley's book when he came in for his interview, but the Defender has fallen on hard times. Back in 2008, it was bought by a Detroit company and moved from a daily publication to a weekly publication. And now the announcement that the company will cease to print the Defender, instead going all digital through the ChicagoDefender.com. Is this the natural evolution of a media company in 2019? Or is it yet another nail in the coffin for one of Chicago's most iconic media companies, the Chicago Defender? Glenn Reedus joins me on the line. Glenn, former managing editor of the Chicago Defender and longtime journalist in town. Glenn, good to talk to you, bud.
You too.
Yeah.
So how's it going?
It's going good. It's great to talk to you. I feel like I haven't seen you in a couple of years, but I got to ask, what was your thought when you saw this news cross?
It was tragic because it looks like it's postponing the inevitable, with the inevitable being shutting down the paper. When you look at the New York Times, Washington Post, LA Times, Wall Street Journal, nobody has figured out how to make money digitally.
Right.
And a weekly paper in Chicago, I don't see how they can do it either.
Yeah, you see that, and automatically the cynical side comes out and says, well, this is just, like you just said, postponing the inevitable. But could you just see this as maybe they're ahead of the curve? Maybe in a way they're seeing that the audience is moving digital, that there are less people picking up a newspaper and those costs are inefficient, and that they're going to a rebirth as opposed to a slow death?
Nope, can't see it that way. I mean, it's traditionally the black press has not been a leader in any aspect of technology. I mean, when the internet was new and we talked about the digital divide, that didn't escape the black press. And today you might even find out of the 185 black newspapers, you might find a handful that still don't have a website.
Right.
So I just can't see it as being a leader, and it was so sudden. You know, you announced on Friday that that's your last one.
Yeah, Glenn, for you worked at the Defender before it was sold, or right when it was sold, it was transitioning.
It was after it was sold. I came in 07. And it had been sold to Real Times Media out of Detroit.
So for you, you know, what were you trying to do at the Defender that you felt was necessary to keep them alive at that time?
Bolster readership, give more in-depth stories to the readers, a broader range of stories, and more professionally done stories.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Defender, it's had such a storied past. Eitan's book kind of went through that, and that was a big resurgence talking about the history of the paper. But at the same time, it also has been in the newspapers in the last 10, 15 years where it's all been about the demise of this company as it's kind of gone from being a Chicago-owned paper to a Detroit-owned paper and gone from daily to weekly, and now it's going to print. I mean, when you look at the whole 100-plus year history of the Chicago Defender, there have been missteps, but does it still have the sort of iconic brand that it used to have?
As we speak today, yes, it does. I mean, there are people who you can say Chicago, and they say Defender. Most people don't seem to, the people that I encounter don't seem to know about, or they refuse to acknowledge the tough times that the paper has gone through, and they just see it as that shining lantern that it was so many years ago.
Glenn, I think about, you know, the Defender makes the choice to go all online or all digital. they almost, in a way, become competitors to some great websites that have been doing prominent African American news and culture. I mean, it's not necessarily just a small market anymore. There's a lot of sites vying for that. How does the Chicago Defender stand out?
It's going to be really tough. They've got to provide news that nobody else is providing. That could be in the business sector, because that's getting short shrift these days. They've got to stay away from, when you talk about Chicago, stay away from treating the shootings and the killings like you need a scorecard for them. Mm-hmm. Dig deeper and, you know, what's causing it. And put more, we've gone away in the news business from including people and focusing on institutions.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to put the people back into the stories.
Well, it feels like that would be a good idea for the Defender to do. But if you look at their website today, there's a lot of focus on culture. There's a lot of focus on pop culture. It seems like they're going away from telling the stories of Chicagoans and telling the stories of lifestyle.
Yeah, that's because right now it's an aggregate of the other real-time papers, the one in mm-hmm. Detroit, the one in Pittsburgh. Where's the other one? Tennessee. In Atlanta. So they're throwing things together from all of those sites versus having a dedicated staff of reporters here in Chicago, getting into neighborhoods and digging and being able to tell the stories. That's going to make it tougher, because there's so many. I mean, there are probably more culture and entertainment websites than our strict news websites.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the problem, is that I don't know how they compete in that space, because there's so many great sites. All right, for news, when we talk about, you know, telling the stories, when I think of the history of the Chicago Defender, Glenn, I think of what their voice during the Civil Rights. Of course, we talked about even the Great Migration. But there seemed to be a moment where mainstream media may not be covering the African-American experience, but the Defender did. And that they seem to have moved away from that. Is there a way they could capture that and bring that back and be successful in that?
I think they can. Is it going to be tough? Because if you look at 40 years ago, the Sun-Times, the Chicago American, Chicago Today, they didn't cover the black community extensively. But since then, they've folded those stories from the community into their paper. So you've got a lot of people saying, why do I need the Defender? I can get it out of my daily newspaper. They don't get the same quality or the same quantity, but they're getting enough that satisfies them. So yeah, I think the Defender could do it, but it's going to be a very tough road to hoe.
That's a great point, though, that at the time the Defender was able to shine because the dailies were not at all paying attention to the African-American communities. They weren't hiring African-American writers. There was a void, so the Defender was able to pick it up. Do you believe that the dailies today, when you talk about the Sun-Times and the Tribune and even some of the other papers, have they done a better job of hiring, of covering communities of color and bringing those stories to the mainstream audience that used to be only relegated to the Defender?
I would say yes, but it's not consistent. I mean, sometimes they do a great job of going on the block, talking to people who are affected by the story, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be violence. It could be a store closing or something like that. But then 2 days later, they're seemingly a major story, but you don't find it in one of the dailies.
How do you deal with that? As a longtime journalist, talking to Glenn Reedus, former managing editor at the Chicago Defender, about the Defender's choice to go to an online only publication. But as you talk about inconsistency, how can the papers be more consistent in covering communities of color?
I think a couple of ways. The most immediate way is to hire more people who live in those places, who have some either journalism background or journalism promise. The next step would be to start with high schools and introduce some kind of training or internships or something for the schools in those communities so that you've got a pipeline of black journalists coming up.
Glenn, my final question for you is just about the Defender itself. What are we going to miss by not having the Defender in our hands?
I'm really not sure. I've thought about that a lot. I mean, it's kind of, I don't know how many of your listeners remember Roberto Clemente, but, you know, in 72, when Clemente was killed, it was like baseball was going to die. But because he was so great, and regardless of your American League fan, National League fan, Cubs fan, or Pirates fan, you loved Roberto Clemente. He died, and it just took something out of the game, but eventually, you know, we got it back, and we still recognize what he brought to baseball, and I think that's what's going to happen with the Defender down the road. We will still recognize what they brought, what that paper brought to journalism, and specifically black journalism. But I don't know that we're going to miss anything about it immediately.
Glenn Reedus, former managing editor at the Chicago Defender, longtime Chicago journalist. Glenn, great to talk to you. Thanks for joining us, and I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a great one.
You too. Glenn Reedus. He's great. I did a couple election nights with Glenn back in the day, and I've always appreciated him. I feel like I see him all the time because he's pretty active on social media. It's one of those where, like, hey, Glenn. All right, I haven't seen you in 10 years. Glenn Reedus talking about the big news that the Defender will go to online only starting on July 11th. More to come tonight here on Extension 720, so stay with us.